The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. This is Dean Weitzman and today is Sunday, October the 12th. That's right, it's Sunday, October 12th, and it's going to be a beautiful day out. There it is. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, the one, the only, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
You're doing good, bud. Well, we got to let the fans die down a little bit.
Well, I'm so used to them, I just talk over them.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's all
everywhere
right.
I go, I have that
applause. Yeah.
I walk into a store, applause.
Hey, folks, if you want to talk to David and I and our special guest today, you got to give us a call at 215-227-2727. That's the number for all your legal needs in Philadelphia and the surrounding area. 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio where you get to ask your legal question today. And if you're lucky, Monica, our faithful producer, will make sure you get a T-shirt from Court Radio. 215-227-2727. Just a little volume, that's all you needed, Irina. Okay, so David, there's some things going on in the news.
There are. I noticed, though, the first... The first one, real quick, was, you know, we don't have... Well, how come you didn't supply masks to us today?
Yeah.
For Ebola.
There is an Ebola breakout in Texas. There's just a couple people.
Two.
That's a couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Two people.
Right.
In a country of 300 million?
Yeah, 300... Something like that.
Yeah, okay. 300 million divided by two. What is that? What percentage is that? Very, very small. Okay.
I have to do the math. I could do it on air. It'll take a little while,
though. Yeah, we don't have that long. It'll be 60 minutes before you get to the answer.
It's like 6,000th percent or something. I don't know.
215-227-2727. Ebola is...
I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. Really, the important news for us on Court Radio is the Tracy Morgan accident has popped back into the news.
It has, as we anticipated it would for this particular point.
That, yeah.
You know, Walmart is now trying to blame it on Mr. Morgan. Whoa, all of a sudden...
You're fine.
All of a sudden I'm loud. Oh, I know why. Our producer's messing with my volume button. Anyway, they're now, you know, New Jersey, unlike Pennsylvania, has a law that if you do not wear your seatbelt, you can be considered, and it could be percentage or whatever, I mean, fully, responsible for the injuries that you sustained in the accident, if the lack of the seatbelt contributed to it. Obviously, there has to be a proof that if you were wearing the seatbelt, you would not have been injured in such and such a way, which is important for this particular story because a huge truck.
Tractor trailer. Struck
hit
limo.
His limo, and it was a car limo. It wasn't a stretch limo, I'm not sure. But anyway, it totally demolished that car. That limo. And now Walmart immediately came out and said, oh, we're going to take care of Mr. Morgan. And we're so sorry that his passenger was killed. And we'll do everything we can to make this right. And now we're going to blame it on him.
I wonder how our listeners feel about that. If you were sitting on the jury and you heard evidence, okay, that the failure to wear the seatbelt contributed to his injuries,
right?
Would you give that weight and take that under consideration?
Well, considering he's in a limo,
when molding your verdict, it would seem that that might happen. But you're right, David. You need to be able to prove.
Yeah.
By expert testimony, that the failure to wear the seatbelt was a cause for the exacerbated injuries. Clearly, whether he's wearing the seatbelt or not, he's going to be injured. So now you have to figure out what injuries would have occurred anyway and what injuries only occurred because of a failure to wear the seatbelt.
Right. Now here I'm going to actually, real quickly, defend Walmart a little bit because I think the media does a disservice to everybody, and they do it all the time. You and I both know, Dean, that when we file a lawsuit, just as if Walmart is answering the lawsuit, you need to include everything in there. Just in case, in the future, which you don't know what's going to happen, you need to argue something that, right, that is going to help you in your case. If you don't put it in your pleading, you are prevented. Now, Walmart, they came back and said when the story came out, we're arguing everything that we need to argue as a legal matter in the pleading. We're not necessarily saying that he's responsible, but you never know in litigation if this does go to litigation. Or goes further in litigation, what's going to happen? And I kind of understand that. I mean, their lawyer just put it in there. They don't have any evidence now of it, well, obviously.
We'll see what our listeners think. Let's talk to Angelo from Philly, who's given us a call. Hey, Angelo, welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Yo, Angelo, how are you, bud?
All right. I'm sorry if I'm too loud. I'm on my way to work up in King of Prussia, okay. And I listen to your show every Sunday, and I'm just calling to see if you have remembered me. We used to detail your car up at Willworks.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Where are you working now, Angelo? Where are you working now?
If all the guys are listening, guys, this is Angelo. I'm on the phone with Mr. Dean, and I'm representing for y'all this morning. So, you know.
Are you on your way? Do you still work there?
Because it's good information. It's real good information.
Where are you working now, Angelo? Where are you working?
It's getting noisy. I want to say that the thing with the Walmart thing, shouldn't they be held responsible? They driver hit him.
Yes, they're going to be responsible.
Yeah, they will.
They're, in the end, no doubt they're going to be responsible.
And I don't think they're trying to say they're fully at fault, not at fault, but they were trying to sort of diminish their exposure a little bit.
Yeah, so if he's got a case worth $5 million or $50 million, they want to pay $25 million because he's not wearing a seatbelt. So it's an argument to try to push the numbers down, I suppose.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's a cover your butt type thing, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
All right, Angelo. Thanks for giving us a call, bud. Have a blessed day. All right. 215-227-2727. We have a topic today, David.
We do.
And we have our guest topicer.
We do.
This is the one and only Irina Shiloh, our newest employee at My Philly Lawyer. Hi, Irina.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Irina is an attorney, and she's working in the Northeast office in Bustleton Avenue. If you want to see Irina, that's the place to go. And Irina's focus of her practice is going to be on domestic relations. She's doing it all. She's got custody, child support, divorce, you name it. When there's a squabble between spouses or folks who have born children, I guess they're not spouses yet, but when there's a dispute, Irina is the woman to see for that. And we're going to get into some domestic relations issues later in the show. So if you're thinking about some domestic relations issues that you wish you would have had an answer to, today's probably the good day to give us a call and talk to Irina. We're going to start that topic in a couple minutes. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Donna from West Philly, David, who's got a health insurance issue. Hey, Donna, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I have a question about health insurance at my job. I started my job in February 2014. My health insurance was supposed to kick in April. That's when in open enrollment. In late August, I went for an appointment. I found that I wasn't covered. So when I talked to my job and they talked to the people, somewhere along the line, the insurance person had dropped the ball and I wasn't covered. So now they're telling me instead of refunding my money, that if anything happened and I needed to go to the doctor before that, they would have covered me. But they clearly said I wasn't covered.
Okay.
So I want to know legally, do I have a right to get my money back?
Interesting.
It's an interesting question. Yeah. And the answer could go either way. There's no definitive answer to that. I could make an argument that if they've If they have agreed to cover you, then you've paid a premium for coverage, no different than any other employee there. They've entered into an insurance contract of a sort with you and said, we'll pay you for whatever. And in fact, you went to the doctor. Did they cover that benefit? Did they pay the doctor?
No, they didn't, because I was not covered at the time. But then when I went back to my job and, you know, told them the situation, and, you know, they were supposed to refund my money, but then
did they refund your money?
No, they never refunded my money. Then, you know, they're going back and forth. Well, they're still going kind of back and forth, and it's been over a month now.
Okay, let's be clear, Donna. When you say they haven't covered your money, are you talking refunded your money? Are you talking about refunding your premium or refunding the money you paid to the doctor?
No, the money that I paid for my premium from, you know.
Okay,
April,
but who,
you know, because all that period, during that period, I wasn't covered.
I understand.
And then
wait a minute,
final,
Donna, I got to ask you a question. Who paid for, did you see a doctor after April?
Yeah, I saw one in late August.
Okay, who paid that doctor's bill?
No, I had to pay.
Okay, and did you submit that doctor's bill to your employer for payment?
Well, it was a health center, so it was $25 cover charge. I did not go for the test that they wanted me to go for because I still, you know, I had no insurance, so I didn't want to go and make the appointment for a colonoscopy and a couple of, a mammogram. So, you know, I'm still waiting, but the last that I talked to my employer, they said that they didn't want to pay because they felt like if anything had happened before, they would have covered me. But I feel like if anything had happened before, I would have been going through all kinds of changes trying to get them to cover me.
Yeah,
know?
Well, we don't deal well with the ifs and the coulds.
Yeah, it's a crafty argument that they're making. We would have covered you, so we're going to keep your money.
Are they still taking the money out of your paycheck now?
Taking it out of my paycheck.
But you are covered now.
They gave me an alternative that if they refund my money, I won't be able to, they'll terminate me and I can't re-enroll until open enrollment again in February.
Let me ask you this. The promise to cover you, even though you're not on the on the coverage, so to speak, is that in writing or are they just telling you that?
They're telling me this.
Okay.
At this point.
First of all, if you're going to agree to that, or if you want coverage and you need it, and it doesn't matter whether it's from an insurance company or from your employer, if they're promising that to you, you better get that in writing, because them just telling you that is, I would say, pretty meaningless. And them telling you everything that they're telling you is meaningless unless you have it in writing.
Yeah, everything has to be in writing, of course.
I mean, you never hold them. They'll say, we never said that.
But it's the bottom line. Do you want to be covered today? And if you want to be covered today, then take their deal. If you don't want to, if you don't care,
and get it in writing.
And get it in writing. But if you don't care and you can wait until February, then they'll give you your money back.
Sounds simple.
But is that fair? All the time that they took the money out and I clearly was not covered.
Yeah, but you didn't use it. Well, fair is one thing. They're saying they would have covered you. I understand what you're saying, but by the same token that you never know if they would have or not, if you needed the coverage?
Yeah.
You're no worse off than you would have been.
Here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If you had come to me as a client and said, Dean, I had, God forbid, I had cancer and I had to have an expensive treatment. The doctors are owed $100,000. They've been taking my premiums, and now they tell me I don't have coverage. I would have gotten that money paid for you.
Right.
End of story. Okay. You would have had that coverage. Now, same scenario, you have the coverage, okay, but you never use it. Well, that's what most people do.
You're no worse off than you would have been.
You're no worse off than anybody else who had coverage and didn't get to use it because you didn't really need it. So I think if you want coverage between now and February, take the deal, make sure it's in writing. If you don't care if you have coverage between now and February, tell them you want all
your money,
back from the very beginning and get your money back. That's simple.
And you're saying, wow, but it's really not unfair to you because you're not any worse off than you were before.
And
you just want the money that you didn't pay. It's sort of like that would be I mean, that would be a great life with my look at a car. Let's put it in car insurance. I have you're not in an accident for a year. I want my money back. Call the insurance company. I didn't get in an accident. I want my money back because I didn't use it.
And you're saying, but I didn't have coverage, but they're saying we will cover you.
That's right.
So
they're saying they would have.
Would have.
Well, okay.
Wait, but it's more than would have. Not only would have,
But will.
But will cover you in the future.
Until February.
So, listen, you can start going to the doctor tomorrow. Just go every day from tomorrow
get
till
every
February.
Get test you want.
Yeah, get a mammogram. Get everything. Let them pay for you. All right? And then all right, Donna.
All right.
I think it's more important that you get your mammogram and
but make sure you get it in writing. That's all I'm telling you, okay?
Okay.
All right, Donna. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. 215-227-2727. You know, she didn't sound happy about
that. No, I think she was counting on getting money.
Getting money back and getting coverage, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, or future coverage. Money back and future coverage. She wanted one from column A and one from column B, but she's only going to get A or B. All right, let's start talking. You know, she's been quiet as a church mouse here, so let's start talking to Irina. Irina, welcome, and we're going to talk today about dads and custody, and is it a waste of dad's time? Do you think that in this, like when I started practicing law back in the Stone Age, fathers could never get custody. They could never get full custody. It was a preference for mom, and moms would just come in and really didn't have to say or do much of anything, and the court would give them full custody, and dads would have visitation. You know, they could see their children like once or twice a month on weekends. But is that the way it is today?
No, it's not the way it is today. Today, the statute actually says, the family code says that there should be no priority between parents. So no gender discrimination. Both moms and dads can get custody. Pennsylvania removed the word visitation, actually. Only for grandparents there is visitation. Parents have custody of their children. And dads do get custody. And actually, the preferred arrangement in PA is 50-50. Of course, it depends on the judge. And some judges maybe discriminate against men. Some discriminate against women in other respect. To answer your question, is it a waste of time for dads? It's a waste of time for everybody to go to court to fight over their children. There should be 50-50 for everyone, and people should try to stay in the same school district near each other unless there is some big problem. And one parent can't have custody, but normally it is a waste of time. But people still fight, and they will fight over, I want 4 days. The other party says, I want 4 days, or I want primary custody. But judges do give 50-50 today.
So how does that work in reality when you have two parents who both want custody of their child and they want 50-50? How does that work? I mean, like, does the kid get flipped and flopped back and forth between houses 1 week with me, 1 week with you?
Yeah, the kid does get flipped back and forth. And somebody said, why doesn't the kid live in the same house and parents move every 2 days or every week? Why? Because it's an adult's world. And even though courts say that they rule what's in the best interest of the child, in reality they don't, because only parents know what's best for their child. And obviously both parents are good for their children, but then people go to court and they throw mud at each other, and judges do consider all the mud, which is very traumatic, very painful for both parents. And at the end they decide something that's not always in the best interest of the child. And with the PFA, Protection for Abuse Petitions and Orders, they actually make things even worse, because one parent, and I'm not going to say which gender, but I think it's kind of clear which gender uses the PFA more to get rid of the other parent and get them out of the picture. So in that respect, dads might be a little disadvantaged, because it used to be that the PFA orders were not granted easily. Today, they're granted very easily. So you can have a person going to court and saying, I was hit, I was punched, I was threatened. And that's basically enough for a judge to grant the PFA order because they want to cover their own asses and say, oh, if something happens, I don't want to be responsible. So that basically puts dads in a disadvantaged position.
Let's talk to Ms. Bennett from West Philly, who's got a custody question. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Dean. I'm happy for your success.
Good morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep. What's your question?
Here's what happened. I have my two newborn children were taken from me after the hospital by DHS, and the judge terminated my parental rights for no reason and put them up for adoption without my permission and separated them. But now my kids are 18 now. My daughter's 18 now. Can you give me some advice so I can make DHS give her back to me? They refuse to tell me where she at until they put her up off home and change her name.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, they're 18, so they're adults now, and they're entitled to make their own choices, and they don't, you wouldn't, even if your parental rights hadn't been terminated, parents have really no control over adult children after attaining the age of majority, which is recognized across the country as being 18, so... at that point, your children, if you want to have a relationship with them, it's got to be a consensual relationship and not one that's court ordered. So unfortunately, at this point, that's not going to happen. And getting in touch with them, there's a lot of people who put their children up for adoption and then want to establish relationships with them after that. There's a ton of information on the internet that, you know, you have to dig through to try to find out where they are or get word to them. But I'm not certainly an expert in that. But at this point, it's going to be whether your children want to have a relationship with their biological mom. And it's certainly not something that the court can impose. But thanks for calling Court Radio and have a great Sunday. 215-227-2727. You know the number. Just give us a call. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking to Irina Shiloh, the newest attorney at My Philly Lawyer, about domestic relations and father's rights, custody, child support, whatever you guys want to talk about. We're here for you. Be right back.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727. For personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more, call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following
is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Court Radio. It's October the 12th. Boy, oh boy, this year is flying by.
Crazy.
October the 12th. We're firmly into fall. The leaves are changing colors.
They are fast.
Football is on every Sunday. This is one of my favorite times of the year. 215-227-2727. You know, David, I started back to working out last week. At My Philly Lawyer.
Didn't notice.
At My Philly Lawyer, we built a gym at the main office.
You have a trainer,
and
right?
We brought a trainer in for all the employees.
And
so all the employees have an opportunity to work out with Blakely, actually is his name.
Blakely, yes. Shout out to Blakely.
Yeah, Shante Blakely.
Oh, okay, that's his last name.
Yes, but he goes by Blakely.
Oh, okay.
And he's working everybody out. So this morning I woke up, you know, bright and early for Court Radio, opened my eyes, okay, in bed,
yeah,
and I was paralyzed. You know that feeling?
Would you work out yesterday? Is that what it happened?
I worked out Friday, but you know it takes like 48 hours for your muscles to realize you've assaulted them.
Yes, yes.
So I woke up like
you couldn't move. Yeah.
I couldn't move an inch. You know, it was like,
was that debilitating pain?
Yeah,
yeah.
So
well, it worked then. Whatever he did worked.
It must have, yes. But it's a little tough getting around today. 215-227-2727. We're here to serve you in Court Radio. So Irina is here, and she's stationed up in the Northeast office. We let her come down into the city, into, you know, Center City occasionally, but primarily she's up there. So if you want to see Irina Shiloh, you're going to probably go up to the Northeast office to do that. Though, if there's a special occasion, she could meet you in our Center City location. And as we open other locations around the city, Irina will be like a little dervish. She'll be running around from office to office taking the domestic relations issues. So what is it? You just got done a trial recently on a custody battle.
Yes.
What's a typical child custody case look like? What kind of witnesses come out on behalf of clients? How long does it take? What's involved in that?
A typical custody case will start with a custody complaint, and the other party can answer or not. All allegations are deemed denied in a custody case because many people are unrepresented. There are some statistics that over 80% of cases have at least one party that's not represented by an attorney. The next step would be there will be a custody conference, maybe a custody hearing before a master after that. And if people don't come to an agreement, there will be a trial.
So just stopping you for a moment, we have the filing of a complaint. Okay, that takes some preparation on your part to gather the facts and to prepare a legal pleading, it's called, or complaint, and file with the court asking for what you want the court to do. Then there's at least one, maybe two separate appearances that you have to make down in court, but not with a judge yet, before you get to the trial.
Right. After the conference and after the hearing before a master, there may be a short list before a judge. So there may be three court appearances before you actually go to trial.
Okay. And then we're going to go to trial. You're going to have on the day of trial a number of witnesses. We're going to talk about who those witnesses might be. But let's talk to William from Chester, who's got a custody issue. Hey, William, welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing? That's funny because my question was pertaining to what you guys were just talking about. I've been going through custody issues since the day my daughter been born. She's 4 now. And when I went the first time, I had an attorney and everything worked perfectly. So I agree 100% about that. But my question was, when I went the second time, I went before a master. He said, well, you don't have any paperwork. Come back again. So I went back a third time. I presented all my paperwork. I presented facts. I had a PFA against my daughter's mom and her family and everything. And then when I brought those paperworks in, he said, you have too much paperwork. Then I had no way of getting contact of my daughter
William, right. William, yeah. let me ask you a question. Did the mother of your daughter have a counsel representing her?
No.
Okay, so you were both unrepresented.
The third time we went, yes.
Okay.
So I got a PFA because I spoke to you about this before. This is my second time calling. One of her baby fathers, he tried to run into my house, so I had to get a PFA against both of them. Then she is like a back and forth situation. She went to CYS. They found out that she lied, so I didn't see my daughter the whole last summer. So I brought that paperwork in from the police officer, from the CYS council, saying that they found nothing about anything. And then he still said, well, you have too much paperwork. You have too much paperwork. There's nothing that you can do. You should go to parent council. So we went to parent counsel. Then he was saying that I said, I don't have no way of contacting my daughter. She doesn't want to answer the phone. She calls whenever she feels like it. So he ordered her to let me call her Monday and Wednesday. She still doesn't answer the phone. And then I told him that this is the last point. Then I told the master, well, she keeps moving, and I don't know where my daughter is. I don't know which school she's in. Or anything like that. I said, I'm an involved father. I'm not a part-time father. Why am I the one that should have to suffer? And then she just come in here, okay, I'll do what you say. And then when we leave, I'm not doing anything. I don't have to answer the phone because she just recently moved, and I don't know where my daughter lives.
She told
my daughter,
William,
don't tell your dad.
William, is there currently a custody order in place?
Yes. It's been a custody order for 4 years.
Okay, so
writing. I have everything.
Again, I don't want to beat you down with this, but you started with the right answer. Everything goes better when you have an attorney to represent you. Now, I understand some people can't afford it, and that's an unfortunate situation, and we certainly understand that. But we work obviously on fees. It's the only way we can. Otherwise, we can't pay the bills to keep the office open. But the point is that probably what needed to be filed here is a
petition for contempt.
There you go. A petition for contempt, because daughter's mother is in contempt of court by violating the custody orders. But you haven't filed that petition, so it's not before the court, so they can't act on it. And so, again, you started out with the right answer. If in a perfect world you had all the money in the world, you would have representation, and this would have gone far differently than it has gone so far, where you're sort of chasing your tail.
Right.
But that's what needs to be filed. If she's not following the court's order, okay, if she's violating the court's order and moving without getting court permission from one area to the other, and not keeping putting your daughter's only four, she can't, it's her mom who has to put her on the phone twice a week with you, okay, and abide by the court's order. If that's not happening, then her mom is in violation of the court order, and you should be filing for contempt.
Okay, because this is what she do when she moves. She tries to keep her address at her grandmother's house and then move with her boyfriend, because I even had fight every time I was picking my daughter up at the police station, because we had drop-offs and pick-up at the police station. He would try to fight me, even in front of the police. He tried to swing on my mother and everything. We went to court for it. I had to testify.
Yeah.
And they still give her custody.
Unfortunately, a big mess that's not all that unusual, William. But, again, if at all possible, my suggestion is to try to get counsel, because that's the way that this would go a lot better for you. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday. Thanks for being a regular listener, bud.
All right. Thank you.
215-227-2727. We got callers lined up, Irina. Let's talk to Gerald from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, on child support arrears.
Hi, Gerald.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning. You're doing great.
All right. This is what's going on. I have a child support case up in the Poconos. All right. Now, they say that I'm in the arrears. Okay. I'm on disability. And my child support money is coming out of my disability check. So last year, they had sent me a letter saying that I owed them like $1,085. All right? And they took out $500 out of my bank to pay for the arrears. And then I was like, okay. And then I say last month I got a letter from them saying that I owed them $1,285. Now, I went to Social Security, and I asked them, you know, do you guys pay them late? They said, no, every time you get to pay, they get paid. So when I talked to them, they said that Social Security is late, and I need to talk to them to make them pay them on time. What can I do about that situation?
Not a heck of a lot. You know, you're not going to move the federal government to pay in a different time frame. But even if they paid it a few days late, I mean, that wouldn't cause an arrears. That would, you know, I mean, so you're a few days late. It might be arrears for a few days, but then it's applied and everything should work out. If you're gathering a balance, there's a problem. There's some issue there. And this is very fact specific. And it really, the only way to understand it is probably to go up there and sit down and get a full printout of your entire file from, you know, payment file from the last few years. And you can see every time a payment has applied, and you can then go home and take your time and check it out and see why it appears that there's an arrears. Somewhere, something didn't get paid or applied properly, and you need to try to figure that out. But it's going to take a careful analysis, and it starts with getting that payment sheet. All right? Thanks for calling Court Radio.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, this is what this is. It's like typical. It's always a mess, you know, and it's people just need to.
Never seems to run efficiently.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Ever since I've been a lawyer.
I'll tell you one thing that runs efficiently.
What?
And that is when I started practicing, none of this happened.
Right.
Child support will snatch a plaintiff's personal injury settlement.
They're very good at that.
Yeah. So let me say that if you've been involved in an accident, you sustained an injury, you've come to Dean or David or anybody for representation, and you're pursuing your personal injury claim, child support finds out about that. I'm not even sure how they do, but they do. They find out about it, and indexing people. I don't know. I mean, every time you're involved in a case, your social security number and date of birth go into a general index, and it's accessible by the courts. So, the bottom line is that they have to get paid.
Well,
so,
we're also obligated, obviously, at the end of the case when it settles, to check.
Yeah,
and make sure there's no arrears.
And so it's regular that what I do is a client's going to get $75,000, but there's a $6,000 arrears. That $6,000 gets paid before the client gets any money.
Yeah.
I have no choice in the matter. It's court ordered. Let's talk. You know what? We got Joel Austin on the line. Joel, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean.
Joel Austin.
Yeah. I can see your smile, Joel, right from here. It's amazing. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. I'm actually fantastic. I'm really glad that you're going over this topic. It's about time that we really, really bring this subject out and guys are really talking about this besides just keeping it.
You know, I know what you do as your part-time job, but why don't you tell the listeners who you are and what organization you're fronting for today?
My full-time job is at Daddy University, President CEO. We hold 4 different fatherhood classes throughout the city. We talk about problems, issues. We also do the National Fatherhood Conference, the Daddy Daughter Dance. So being involved in a lot of these issues is a full-time thing for me.
Yeah, and you see that you're right on the front lines. You see fathers every day who are fighting for custody of their kids. Let me ask, have you seen a trend and you've been involved in this for a while. How long have you been doing this now, Joel?
This is over 10 years.
Right.
About our 10th year now.
So you're an expert in this. You kind of see the trends. In the last decade, have you seen a trend in favor of fathers, or has it remained the same in your opinion?
In my opinion, I've seen a trend in favor of fathers who have gotten some type of counsel, instruction prehand. So most of my fathers go into court like everyone else, angry, bitter, upset, and the language that you speak at that time, a lot of judges don't want to hear it, and they don't understand the language of court. So when you come back and get some type of instruction or counseling, you start to understand the language of what they want to hear. They don't care about whether you saw her at a club. They want to know what kind of house do you have for your daughter? What kind of home do you have? What kind of care are you taking?
Right.
Yeah, very good point.
That's
there.
A very good point.
What do you think about dads who go unrepresented versus those represented? I mean, does that play a part in this presentation to the court?
Dads who go unrepresented, no matter what their educational background, usually don't do as well as dads that are represented, because it may not sound right, but a lot of attorneys are not emotionally connected, which is actually a good thing. So many of my files are so deeply emotionally connected, and you can even hear it on some of your callers.
Well, yeah, you make
that it doesn't come out right.
You make a good point, because that caller called in. He was talking about, the guy was trying to fight me in front of the police and all that. And this again goes to what you just said. That all might be relevant to him, but in court, the judge doesn't really want to hear any of that. He doesn't care.
Yeah, I also want to say it's not only because we're not emotionally connected. We actually are somewhat emotionally connected. Well, we do want to do a good job. The main reason why you should have an attorney is because we know the law. We know the rules of evidence. We know the rules of civil procedure. Sometimes we know the judges and what they want. And what you just said a couple minutes ago, that dads would talk about their ex-wives or girlfriends instead of talking about what kind of living conditions they could afford the children. That's true. People talk about the fights they had.
Yeah, they want
to
fight
exes,
rather than.
And judges don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear who cheated on whom and who slapped whom. They
right.
want to know who's a good parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what Joel says is true. What a father thinks is important for the court to hear is exactly sometimes opposite of what the court really wants to hear.
That's right.
You know,
what has happened as a trend is that there's caretakers and caregivers. You can go back and forth on a definition, but a lot of times someone's taking care of the outside of the home and someone's actually touching the child. And courts are really want to get more of my dads to be caretakers. So who's reading the books? Who's taking the kid to school? And they don't even see a lot of that as important. They keep thinking that, well, I'm paying this bill, which those things are very important.
Right.
That you're taking care of a financial responsibility. But they also want to know that just because your order says that you do not have your child Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there's a baseball game on Saturday, and they still want to know if you're going to that game.
Right.
And a lot of my fathers don't understand that.
Yeah, you're
that
right.
Emotional connection is extremely important to how favorable the court will be. And
good point.
It has changed to a swing because of the new custody laws, the 2011 custody laws. It has changed to see which parent is best, not so one-sided.
Let's talk, Joel, stand by. Let's talk to Lee from North Philly who's got a custody issue. No, Lee. We did have Lee, but Lee abandoned us. So. Yeah, I was going to.
He was running to get a lawyer because he realized he needs one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk to Sarita from West Philly on line one. Hey, Sarita, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes. Good morning.
What's your question?
I really have a complex situation because I'm stuck holding a piece of paper that says.
Can't understand you. Wait a minute, Sarita. First of all, I don't know, stand a little bit back from the phone so that we can hear you and start over. I heard you say it was complex, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Try to summarize it as quickly as you can so we can get you an answer.
Yes, I'm trying to find out how can I, my ex-husband is now on disability, and he was in arrears. We got a order for $2,000for support. Of which I only collected child support for 2 years from him.
Right.
And I got a paper from the state last year saying they were wiping out his arrears based on the fact that he can't pay.
Got it. Okay. And so has that happened? Have they wiped out the arrears at this point?
Well, they sent me a paperwork. I went down. I said, how is that possible? They said because he has no ability to pay.
Right. And no expectation that that's going to change, probably. That's the key.
Well, it is, because we got got married and he was 20 years older than me, and he worked for the railroad department. So now he's going to collect his tier one retirement in a lump sum because he's had a lawsuit since then. So...
Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing. That's the funny thing, Sarita, that it doesn't make sense to me, because I've had to pay arrears for clients who have had cases that go back 10 and 15 years. And so the courts, my experience is that the courts have held on to those arrearages for a long, long time. Kids are adults. They're off in college. And dads are forced to pay arrears that are decades old. So why this is, they're trying to, eradicate these arrears because he's on disability and has no expectation of a recovery, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Did you have counsel representing you at that time?
Not at that time, but through the time when we had custody hearings and so on and so forth, yes, I did.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But when they tried to knock the arrears off, did you go down with an attorney or did you do it alone?
I went by myself. Okay. And they at the time, they never wiped it out. So I couldn't figure out how they could do it. If they had another hearing or when I went down, I couldn't get the right answer. Like, how could this be? My son.
But obviously you affected them because they didn't wipe it out. So they listened to you to some extent. They didn't wipe it out at that time. Is it still in effect today?
No, because my child is 21, and the other one is 17. But that's what I asked them. I said, well, we're not on the system. I've been doing this alone, and it takes money. And if he's going to get a lump sum within a year, how could this be? Like, how could I, if I go down there and they said, well, we gave you a paper and you didn't sign it on, which I have a foul one, but I don't know. They might come with that. What do I do? Can I reinstate this?
Can you reinstate the arrearages? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
The answer is probably not. If they've wiped out the arrearages, then he has, but again, that goes against all of my experience. But if you'd like, okay, and here's really what I'm going to advocate. These things that you're talking about go a lot better, and you'll get better answers when you have representation, because then the attorney can go down to court can file a motion, can get you the answers you need, and can really get to the bottom of it fairly quickly. I think, again, that when possible, if there's one message I think I want to convey today, when possible, you have to get representation in child custody support matters in order for it to go smoothly. Without attorneys involved, you're really at the mercy of the court system and the administrators down there, and they're busy and overworked, and they're focusing on the attorney cases and not the unrepresented cases. I want to thank you for calling. If you need more information, you can always reach me at dean@myphillylawyer.com. You can also reach Irina at ishiloh, ishiloh, @myphillylawyer.com. We're accessible by email, and if that's a way for you to get in touch with us, that'll work for us, and we can email you back an answer. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Court Radio. All right, 215-227-2727. We've got a lot of callers. We're going to try to get to you. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-U.S.-CLAIMS today. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. It's October the 12th. It's going to be a beautiful Sunday. We got football today. Eagles versus Giants in the evening game, the 8 o'clock game tonight. Yeah. Nice. What do you think, David?
What do I think? I think that the Eagles are going to win.
Yeah, I do.
How about that?
I'm saying a big win for the Eagles.
A big win?
Yeah, 10 points.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. 10.
A crushing defeat for the Giants.
You want to put some...
some cash on that,
Little bet there. I don't know what the spread is. We'd have to investigate.
It's 3 points, I think. 215-227-2727. We got Joel Austin on the line from Daddy University. Hi, Joel. Welcome back to the show.
Dean and David, the funniest guys on the radio.
There you go. So what's
like public marriage?
What's coming up? What's coming up for Daddy University? What's the next event you got? Guys are getting together for.
We have we've expanded our father classes. We now have them in West Philly YMCA, North Philly YMCA, two places in Frankfurt to try to spread out some of these solutions and try to talk about some of the issues and not just those, but then direction. A lot of guys need to know what to do when they get into these situations. We have the National Fatherhood Conference coming up, which is a big deal at the convention center. So just looking forward to this growth.
All right. All right. How do people get in touch with you, Joel?
You can call us anytime, register, come in. We're at 610-579-DADS or 610-579-3237.
Very good. 215-610, did you say? Or 215?
Oh, 610.
Oh, okay. 610.
Yeah. 610-579-DADS.
There you go. 610-579-DADS. That'll get you to Joel, and he'll hook you up with some classes and some information, because information is power, right?
Support, information, policies, and even referrals, court referrals.
Okay. You're going to give him
referrals.
You will personally give them support?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the emotional side.
Oh, okay.
Emotional and mental.
I thought you were giving cash out.
Support.
I thought you were giving cash out, Joel.
Well, my job is to get them out of that bitter stage so that even when they sit down and talk to somebody, they're talking what the person needs to hear.
Yeah, and you know what?
Intelligent.
Even that, Joel, when they come to see us, is
right.
Helpful when they know what's important to the attorneys, so that so they're prepared to provide us with the information we need.
And what's interesting is I think the calls that come in are indicative of what you see. And I'm not going to disparage our callers, but what you don't want to see, and that's a focus on what he or she did, the other person, rather than focusing on what I'm going to do and what I can provide to the child. That's really what the court wants to hear.
Let's talk to Rob from Downingtown, who's got an issue on child support. Hey, Rob, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning. I love you guys. Listen, this happened to me. Now, I pay child support every 2 weeks. I work at a drug and alcohol clinic. I'm a counselor. I make good money. Now, what happened is I got a part-time job. I caught them double-dipping a couple times on me. Like during the holidays, I work a part-time job, and every time they double-dip, you know, they'll take money from both jobs the same amount. I have to go there, sit down, and then they say, oh, well, we're sorry, but they won't give you that money back.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair, you know. They said they can't, you know, take money from you twice, you know, only one time.
Right.
So what they usually do is just add that balance to the next. But if you don't go up there and say anything, they'll double dip out both your checks. I just wanted to let the viewers know that they're not allowed to double dip.
No, that you can't pay more than you owe. And the question I have, really a kind of an academic question, why is there even a support obligation that was registered against both jobs? If you've got one job, steady paycheck every week and or every
right.
2 weeks.
Yeah, how did the other one even get involved?
Yeah, how did the part-time job even have a support order?
I don't even know how they did that.
Let me ask you something, Rob. Were you represented by counsel in the support matter? Yeah, no.
No, I didn't.
That's the quick answer, probably. And I don't mean to, you know, but you know, like you're making a good living, right? And
right.
by your own admission, right. And so listen, I've had to retain attorneys. I know firsthand, I know the pain of having to pay an attorney to represent me, Dean Weitzman, in my own matters. But it goes without saying that I believe that it's money well spent. Like, at the end of the day, you know, better things happen to those who are represented, and you don't get taken advantage of, and, you know, no quick stuff gets pulled on you. But you've been on top of it, and I applaud that, and I thank you for letting listeners kind of in on your tip. But bottom line is, Rob, if folks need representation on domestic relations, child support, and child custody, they need to call My Philly Lawyer. Okay, I'll plug us. 215-227-2727. Ask for Irina, and she'll talk to you over the phone. If she and you believe it's necessary for you to meet, then you're going to come up and meet with Irina, and she's going to make sure that your back is covered. Okay, that's the bottom line. But it doesn't happen. That's the kind of representation, unlike the, you know, accidents and slip and falls and medical malpractice that David and I focus on. This type of representation requires fees to be paid. And so that's kind of a dirty word, I know. But I've had to do it myself. But it's money well spent. In the end, I think you save aggravation and money if you have representation. You shouldn't be having to call them on your own. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Rob, from Downingtown.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
One thing he also said, which is true, is once they get money, you can forget about getting it back. you know what I mean? And it's funny because he may never be in a situation where, you know, he's paying more than he should. He'll never be in a situation where they'll catch up and, you know, they're not going to credit him for the next 2 weeks.
How about this?
Not pay.
Irina, if your child turns 18, does the support automatically end?
The support, no, doesn't end. It's actually when you finish high school.
Okay. So, well it wasn't a trick question. What I'm trying to say is you have to file something, a petition, to end support. It isn't going to end on its own. Sometimes fathers don't realize that.
Right.
And then they end up having in arrears because they think, you know, my child's out of high school, he's 18. But you have to take some affirmative action to end your support obligation.
Right. You file a petition to modify the
yes.
support order.
Right. And modifications can be granted because you're, you know, all of a sudden you're not making as much money as you used to make. You lost your job or what have you. But again, the court will not modify it on its own or with a phone call to the court.
Right,
you
right.
need to file true. Petitions.
True. Or if the payee, the one that's paid child support, dies, for example.
There you go. So, listen, I know we left a lot of callers on the line today. Joel, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show today, bud.
Anytime, Dean. Anytime.
All right. I look forward to seeing you soon and participating in the next thing with Daddy University. I have a big thumbs up for everything that you're doing, man. And you really are spreading the word and helping fathers in a meaningful way.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great day, David.
All right, you too.
Irene.
Bye, Joel.
Take care.
All right, so, folks, we're here for you. Give us a call during the week, 215-227-2727. Thanks, and have a great week.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.